Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, NCAA tournament, great time of the year, obviously. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in an NCAA champion at Louisville, was the Final Four Most Outstanding Player back in 2013. Now does a kick-ass job with ESPN and the ACC Network, and that's Luke Hancock here with us. Luke, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Best time of the year. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so is this right? The NCAA, right, they acknowledge you won the most outstanding player, but the tournament, they still say, is vacated and doesn't exist. Did I get that right?
Yeah, I guess I'm the most outstanding player of a tournament that didn't happen in the NCAA's eyes, but we don't really listen to them very often.
It's so stupid, and I'm sorry to bring it up this way, but when I was going through, obviously, your career before the show, I'm like, oh, they gave him back the acknowledgement of the most outstanding player, but they still don't acknowledge the championship. I hate that part of the NCAA, and I think it's just so silly that they haven't acknowledged you guys as champions since then.
Yeah, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the way the NCAA runs things very often, but I think they continue to kind of shoot themselves in the foot, but honestly, it hasn't changed very much for me whether we got the MOP back or not. You know, we played the games. This time of year still brings back the greatest memories. I do think it's the best time of the year.
Well, let's get to Louisville this year. I remember when we were talking when that job was open last year, and I'm like, all right, obviously you got to call Scott Drew. When he says no, to me it should have been Dusty May or Pat Kelsey. Obviously, they did go with Pat Kelsey, and man, what a job he's done here in year number one as they're seated as an eighth seed going up against Creighton. And quite frankly, I kind of liked it when they showed Pat Kelsey. He's like, wow, I thought we were going to be seated a lot higher. You could just tell the reaction, and he has a good argument to make there. But what a year it's been for Louisville.
Yeah, what an unbelievable year. I think they tied at this point most wins season to season in ACC history. And I think it's coming off the COVID year for some other teams. So there's obviously a different situation there, but he's definitely reinvigorated the entire fan base. I mean, watching games this year, I'm usually working games, so I don't hear the sound. But when I did, there was always a moment where announcers just kind of sat back and they just listened. And it was all of them talking about, this is awesome to have Louisville basketball back. I know that community has been so excited to see the job that Pat Kelsey has done. Every time I talk to him, he seems to be on the double shot of espresso. He's got all the energy in the world. I wish I had that kind of energy waking up every day, but the fan base has really gotten behind these guys. It's been awesome to watch. And you mentioned the seed. I think when you look at the bracket as a whole, I think West Virginia probably has the biggest gripe for not being in the tournament. I think number two is probably Auburn. And number three is Louisville. And I've been the eighth seed playing for George Mason. I've been the number one overall seed player for Louisville. I cannot imagine, if I'm Auburn, having to go play the number 10 team in the country as my second game potentially. Now, Creighton's a great team. This is going to be a great battle. But if they get through that game, you have a relative home game for Louisville as the number 10 team in the country playing the number one overall seed. That's bad news for Auburn. I think they could still win that game, certainly, but a heck of a test early on in the tournament for sure.
And quite frankly, when I look at all the first round matchups as they get underway tomorrow, that 8-9 matchup of Louisville Creighton, it's the one that I first circled. I think that's the most exciting first round matchup.
I mean, I would agree. I'm probably a little biased on that one. There's some great storylines in some of the first round matchups. Those 8-9 games, I think all across the regions, they really sold those to be primetime battles. I love Georgia Gonzaga, for example. I think that's going to be a great battle with big-time athletes and some guys that will be definitely playing at the next level. I think it's a really interesting matchup with Louisville-Creighton. Obviously, Ryan Kalkbrenner in the middle is an absolute monster in there. And if you look at Louisville, probably the weakness is defending some great front court players. They got worn down a little bit against Duke in the ACC championship. But, you know, again, back and forth. So Creighton gets worn down a little bit by the pace and the guard play in the St. John's game in the Big East final in that second half as well. So, again, I think it's going to be fantastic. Two great coaches. And I think both teams in that battle probably not seeded correctly. I think they should have been a little lower, both of them.
Luke Hancock here with us. I know that you talked about West Virginia having a gripe. UNC blew out San Diego State last night. What does that win say for UNC? Did maybe some people a little bit too harsh about UNC, or do you still think those criticisms of the resume of UNC were valid?
Oh, I think people were way too harsh. You know, you can say this team or that team on the bubble. We always have some kind of gripe. But I got to see UNC up close and personal, especially the last 10 or so games of the season. And I know the eye test isn't everything. People want to harp on one metric. Their quad run resume is what it is. And if you want to say that's the end all be all, that's what you're going with, yeah, okay, then they shouldn't have been in. But if you check out their net, if you check out what Bartorvik has them ranked the last month of the season, you know, we don't have a recency bias in the way the metrics work anymore. That's part of the eye test. And so seeing them up close and personal, every bracket that I filled out had UNC not winning one game, but winning multiple games in the tournament. And I no shock at all that they played as well as they did last night, especially having their chip on a shoulder, not just because of what people said, but the way their ACC tournament ended.
And it's been a rough few days for the West Virginia fan, right? Not only did you not make the NCAA tournament, and Darren DeVries, after 1 year, he goes to Indiana. When you saw that move go down, what was your first reaction to that?
Just what you said. That's a real rough week for West Virginia basketball because he did a fantastic job this year. I thought when the committee came out and talked about Tucker not playing for them as a reason that they weren't in the NCAA tournament, it just was such a head scratcher, a big question mark. You know, the guy hasn't played since December 6th. How that could factor in? That'd be like saying, you know, Case and Pryor for Louisville is the reason why they're seated as high as they are. Well, if your resume still says that you should be an NCAA tournament team, the fact that the guy hasn't played the last 3 months absolutely shouldn't matter. You know, it's great that he got that job in Indiana. I think he's a great coach, but West Virginia's on the search for their next coach. And I think they may have taken a little bit of a chance to get him into West Virginia. So I'm sure that hurts West Virginia fans that he's kind of in and out, but certainly leaves the program in a better place as well.
I know we're a prisoner of the moment, so I'm just using two previous examples. Dusty May goes to Michigan, boom, instant success. Pat Kelsey this year goes to Louisville, boom, instant success. Do you think Darren DeVries could have that instant success and a little Kelsey and May impact in year one with the Hoosiers coming up down the road?
I absolutely do. I think it's obviously good that these coaches are coming in and having success in year one. I think it's putting some pressure on other coaches around the country, right or wrong. I don't know if that's always perfect because you look at a situation like Missouri and Dennis Gates, you know, great year one, really struggles in year two. And then this year they've had a fantastic year again. So I'm not one for making a quick decision and pulling coaches and firing them early. But I think guys like Pat Kelsey and Dusty May have certainly put pressure on these other places. But ultimately, if you go to a place like Indiana, you have a coach that can get the job done and you pair that with the resources. It is quite obvious that Indiana has the resources to compete at the highest level. Their team was really talented. They just didn't seem to gel the right way. So it's not just having the money. As Nick Saban says, you got to pay the right guys. So we'll see the job he does in Indiana. But I would be putting my money on Coach DeVries to do a great job.
Kevin Keats was in the Final Four last year with NC State, a remarkable run. A year later, he's out of a job. When something like that happens, it's like, okay, you got to go then get a big name. I think it was the worst kept secret out there that Will Wade was eventually going to get that job. Jeff Borzello, right before you got on board with us, tweeted out, McNeese's Will Wade has reached an agreement to become the next head coach at NC State. Sources confirmed to ESPN. First reported also by Joe Giglio. Wade has won 57 games over the last two seasons at McNeese. Went to 5 NCAA tournaments at LSU and VCU. You know, we all knew it was going to happen. He was openly talking about how he told his players he's been talking to NC State. But right before you get McNeese and Clemson, it is unfortunate for the kids that they find out that their coach is definitely leaving before they get to play in that first round game, even though he's going to coach in the game.
Yeah, Zal, I will say, you know, the environment's different nowadays. Like, these kids, have all elevated their platform playing for Will Wade and McNeese State. You know, it's not to say he can't take some of those guys. I'm sure he won't take the entire team, but their platform is going to be elevated. They hit the portal. They make more money. So I think, you know, as a guy who transferred 10 years ago, a little more than that, feels like 100 years ago because the situation was just so different with my sit out year and just the way this transfer portal works nowadays. I was really happy when Jim Larrañaga left George Mason and went to Miami because, you know, he got a better job. He went to the ACC. That was a dream of his to get back there after being an assistant at Virginia for so long. That's how you need to do this environment now. I think you can't hold grudges. Transfers are certainly not looked at it the way they used to be. And the environment's going to change all the time. So I think you have a coach, you have players who put the program and themselves in a better situation when they leave. And almost every team across the country has guys who move in and out. You got to kind of keep a smile on your face and take the most positive approach possible. And like I said earlier, some of these programs that are having coaches leave too early, they're firing guys quickly. I'm not necessarily for that. You know, Kevin Keats is like family to me. I played for him at Hargrave and at Louisville. I thought, man, give that guy another opportunity. Come on, especially with the buyout money being what it was. It is what it is. It's a fast-moving business, and I think you're going to see some programs do it like that, and some programs do it like Virginia Tech is doing with Mike Young, where they say, you know what, we just haven't given this guy enough resources. Let's put a real investment behind the program and see what this guy can do. I'm definitely for the latter there.
Let's get to your former coach, what Rick Pitino has done at St. John's. I know we shouldn't be surprised, but it is still surprising, especially living in this New York area, New York City area. You know, they win their first conference tournament championship since 2000. They're a number two overall seed. They're going to be playing in Providence up against Omaha. I know that you were able to get to a Johnny's game at the Garden last time we did, check in with you. But, man, what is there to say at this point about Rick Pitino? It's unbelievable.
Never a doubt. You know, I think Rick's one of the greatest coaches of all time, if not the greatest. And there was no doubt that he would have St. John's basketball right back on top. I'm excited for him. The environment going to that UConn game was absolutely electric, and the Johnnies took care of business. The second half in that Creighton game for the Big East Championship, man, did it bring back memories. Wearing teams down, playing at that pace, it was so much fun to watch. And I'm really happy for Coach. Obviously, they've had a fantastic year. Thought the 2-seed was pretty fitting for them. My only gripe with Coach is that back when we played, we weren't even supposed to have Twitter. Again, it was a long time ago, but it was on the edge of when that was really getting going. He was very much against social media, and now the guy's going on Jimmy Fallon and having documentaries over the team. Things have really changed with Coach P, but it's awesome to see the exposure and him to get all this credit. You know, I'm a little shocked that he's going on as many sites and talking to as many people like Barstool Sports and whatnot as he is. But it's awesome people get to see a little bit more behind the scenes. And, you know, that's my coach. And even the stuff like seeing his halftime speech about battling adversity and that being about life, not just basketball, where's your toughness? You know, I've heard those speeches a million times, and being in that locker room, there's just nothing like it. Coach can put confidence into players like no one else, especially when your back's against the wall. So I expect the Johnnies to do big things.
Yeah, I think he probably owes you a few suicide runs, right? You know, for talking to the media so much.
Well, he did just say, I'm not for suicides very often. And I agree with that. Like, we had really tough conditioning in the summertime. But once you got to season, I always felt like your conditioning should be in competing. And that comes from Coach Pitino. And I'll tell you what, you play the king of the court drills the way he does. You play in the press like he does in practice. Tournament time is a huge advantage for the Johnnies simply because games are dramatically easier than going to practice for Coach Pitino. I'll play back to back to back every day if I don't have to play another practice with Rick Pitino, because it was that intense every day.
Before we let you run, Duke, obviously a major storyline in this tournament. I hate to be like everybody else, but I got Florida and Duke in the national championship game with the Dukies cutting down the Nets, the Blue Devils. Well, Cooper Flagg, the injury's a storyline. They won an ACC championship when he was still hurt. We'll see if he's able to go in the first game and how effective he will be. But is Duke, to you, the best team in this tournament?
They are when healthy. So I'm with you. I watched the SEC tournament and saw what Florida looked like. They're pretty unbelievable. Great guard lineup. They've got depth with the bigs that are strong, athletic guys. But when Duke is healthy, yes, I think they're the best team in this tournament. I think there's a compounding effect, though. Jay Lucas, the defensive coordinator for Duke, leaves before postseason play really starts. I think that's substantial. The defensive coordinator for the number one defensive team in the country leaves before, you know, tournament time. That's got to mean something. And then you add Cooper Flagg with Malik Brown. Malik Brown is a backup center but plays a ton of minutes, especially for particular matchups, like when they played Auburn early in the year. Malik Brown guarded Jahni Broome most of that game. So he's a guy that allows him to switch 1 through 5, play on the perimeter defensively a little bit more, and is a big piece. He dislocated his shoulder in the ACC tournament. Now, he can come back from something like that. You're going to have surgery later on, I'm sure, and that's come from somebody with 3 scars here and 5 scars here. I've torn both my shoulders up. So he can play potentially if he can. And Cooper Flagg is ready to go. I do think Duke is the most talented team in this tournament.
He's Luke Hancock. Of course, you can catch him on the ACC Network, ESPN 93.9, The Ville. Luke, always appreciate you joining us today. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon. Happy hoops.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.